This is Castle Playhouse. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, your hosts, the brewers of Castle Lager, bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Castle Playhouse.
Bonaventure.
They say the great dike may come down.
Is that why your hair's down? In sympathy, Nurse Bent?
Just hark at that wind. They say the waters haven't been so high for 100 years. Oh, sister, what'll happen if the great dike doesn't hold?
Well, all the villagers will be homeless and crowding up here on the high ground. And where we shall put them and how we shall feed them, goodness only knows.
Food's no problem to you. You're a genius. Sister Agnes said you could make a cream chicken stew out of a diabetic hippopotamus.
Sister Agnes and you have one thing in common, Nurse Brent. You talk too much.
My word, this wind and rain. Oh, I pity the poor souls on the road tonight. I think we should keep the place extra warm just in case.
I believe you are expecting trouble.
Oh, now look at that. Haven't I begged you girls to keep all the old newspapers and not to crumble them like that?
But you must have thousands.
Lord. Yes, and 1,001 uses for them. Never discard a newspaper and never throw away a piece of string. History might have been altered many times if a piece of string or an old newspaper had been lying handy. Oh, good evening, Sister Mary.
Good evening, Sister Josephine.
Good evening, Nurse Brent. Have you finished your supper?
Yes, Sister Mary.
Then will you go on duty now, please? Read the notes I've left about Mrs. Thomas. Read them carefully. We shall need your help.
Yes, sister.
Oh, nurse, your hair is very soft and pretty, but while you're on duty, I think I should roll it back more neatly.
Yes, sister. Thank you, sister.
Well, how's Mrs. Thomas?
Sonny, she sent you down 2 immaculate copies of the Times. I'm to tell you they haven't even been opened.
Oh, bless her heart. I do like the Times. The pages have such a nice, even grey effect on my shelves. None of those big, untidy headings like the Daily Express.
When you die, Sister Josephine, you will have newspaper wings. Look, I brought down that tapestry you found in the old cupboard. Such a pity. I'm afraid it's past repairing.
Oh, Sister Agnes will tackle it.
Oh, are you all right?
Oh, here, you better sit down. Steady now. Let me...
Oh, thank you. It's just... Giddiness, it's passing.
Oh, you've had no sleep for nearly 2 nights.
Yes, but people are already trickling up from the village and there's so much to be done.
Then someone else will have to do it for once. Now even you can't go on forever. Now you promise me to sit here by the fire for 1/4 hour and then I'll take a bowl of hot onion soup to your room. Now that'll put heart into you.
Your onion soup would put heart into a graven image.
Don't waste it even in jest. My dear, goodness knows it takes enough time and material.
Good evening, Sister Josephine. Campaigning as usual.
Oh, good evening, Doctor. Tell me, as a medical man, would you consider 1/2 hour's rest a mortal sin?
I certainly should not.
Then try convincing Sister Bonaventure. That'll keep you busy.
Well, that means you haven't been to bed since I left, Sister Mary.
Oh, I've had all the rest I need.
You've such a Spartan idea of your own needs. You can't go on giving yourself like this. I insist you rest.
Yes, but...
No,
Doctor...
That's an order.
Yes, Doctor. Thank you. But aren't you making rather a late visit?
I'm staying here ready. That dike can't possibly hold.
Apparently we coped with the same thing 60 years ago. We can do it again now.
What you mean, sister, is that you'll cope and we shall follow. Oh, well, I'd better get busy then. Good evening, Reverend Mother.
Good evening, Doctor.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Reverend Mother.
No, don't get up, sister. I know you're off duty. I just wanted to check with you that we're all ready for emergencies.
Yes, we've managed to clear those 2 large wards. We can put the men in one and the women and children in the other when they arrive.
Good.
They'll have to camp out for a little until we get properly organized and they can keep control themselves.
Sister Agnes is ready at the switchboard for messages. By the way, Martha Pentridge has come up. Her cottage has already gone, I'm afraid. She'll be very helpful. I expect you can find a bed for her.
Yes, of course.
And Sister Josephine tells me she's made arrangements for plenty of hot soup.
Onion soup.
Precisely, onion soup. How very happy she'll be officiating. Life must be quite simple and uncomplicated for the Josephines of this world.
Yes.
You look tired. Very tired. I've been watching you for some weeks. When this weather clears, would you care to go into retreat for a little?
No, I would not. I'm sorry. If you wish to send me away...
How long have you been here? 6 years?
Nearly seven.
We've never had our hospital run so efficiently. No, I don't want to lose you. I only wonder if we haven't lost you already, spiritually.
No, it's just this restlessness, the uncertainty. If one could be sure one had done the right thing.
We all go through this conflict, you know. Even the Josephines.
Perhaps they have more balance.
Or the finer vessel needs longer in the kiln.
We are put into the world is and as we are. Is it wise to leave it? To narrow ourselves into a little space?
Do we? We're a serving order, not a closed house.
I feel if it were right, there should be no question in the mind. Can we ever be sure? Are you sure?
At my age, yes. At yours? I can't think I was so certain. Believe me, I do understand. For a woman of your character and knowledge, service, and above all, humility, are not easy. You're tired, and for the moment the world seems stronger than the spirit. It'll pass. I'm sure it'll pass.
Thank you, Reverend Mother.
If you want to rest later, it can be arranged. If you're happier working, as I think you are, the work is certainly to hand. Come in. Yes, Sister Josephine.
Reverend Mother, there's a man here wanting to speak to you. They're traveling from London by car, he and a woman and a driver. They're cut off by the floodwater.
Will you bring them in, Sister? This is probably the first of the rush. Sister Josephine, be ready with your loaves and fishes.
Yes, Reverend Mother.
Good evening.
Good evening. Come in. You must be nearly drowned.
Sorry to arrive like this, madam, but travelling from London, I'm afraid the car's waterlogged.
We shall have many people coming here to the high ground tonight. Come to the fire. But I thought you had others with you.
Yes. Come in, Miss Carn.
Come in. Why, you look positively exhausted. Are you ill?
No. No, I'm not ill, thank you. If I may sit by your fire.
But certainly.
Madam, could I have a word with you in private, if you please?
Oh, do sit down. I assure you we're quite private here.
I think I ought to speak to you quite alone, madam, if you don't mind.
Oh, very well. Will you come with me? I should take your coat off. You'll get a chill.
That would be very inconvenient, wouldn't it? Think how the calendar would be thrown out.
I'm sorry, I...
In fact, the whole thing is very humorous. A convent of all places. How far are we from Norwich?
About 15 miles.
15. How far are we from Denzil St. Peter?
Not more than 2 miles.
I thought so when the woman mentioned the high ground. The journey's been so confused in the dark and flood water. So this is the convent of Our Lady of Rheims?
Yes.
I told you it was funny, didn't I?
I'm sorry, I don't understand. You must be very chilled. I can recommend this very excellent soup. Some of us think our cook has missed her vacation. Will you come to the table, or would you like it there by the fire? Oh, that wet coat. The poor child. Let me take it.
No.
Well, it is rather spoiling our chair.
And my wet shoes. Are they spoiling your hearth rug?
No, but they can't be very comfortable. Won't you take them off?
Oh, very well.
Let me do it.
No. Get up. Get up at once. Get off your knees in front of me. Oh, leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Very well. Won't you at least have some hot soup to warm you? And now I'll see if I can find you some slippers.
You're very good, sister, but don't bother. We'll be on our way to Norwich as soon as we can.
I'm afraid you won't get to Norwich tonight. It wouldn't be safe to try. The Great Dyke may give way at any time unless the men achieve a miracle of engineering.
Then we might be here for some time?
Some days, perhaps.
Isn't there a trite saying about drowning men in straws? Except that I'm not drowning. I suppose it isn't permitted to smoke in here.
Not usually, but in these circumstances...
What circumstances?
But surely...
I said what circumstances?
I meant that soon this place must be free to all, and we shan't be so strict about regulations. So if you would like to smoke... Here.
You're a good woman. My coat must be dry now. I'd like to have it.
Is that wise?
No, but I'd like to have it. It's not wet enough to harm your chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sister Mary. I didn't realize...
Don't worry, Nurse Brent. Is it something you want?
I've got a copy of the local paper for Sister Josephine. I thought she was here. I hope Mrs. Jenkins in the end ward sent it because it's so nice and smooth.
Thank you very much, Nurse. And now you'd better get back to the ward or you'll have Nurse Phillips after you. How is Mrs. Thomas?
Oh, in a lovely sleep, Sister. But Nurse Phillips says she doesn't like the look of Mrs. Grimes. She thinks the baby may come tonight.
Well, you know where to find me if you want me. By the way, have you done any maternity work before, Brent?
Not practical.
Then it will be very interesting and good for you.
Dear, but
no, don't get excited. Just help Nurse Phillips and the doctor.
Yes, Sister. Thank you very much.
You arrange everything here?
I'm in charge of the hospital. We each have our own duties.
Life must be very calm and pleasant.
Yes.
Out of the world and away from temptation?
I believe that is the popular conception.
How does it really work?
In work.
No doubt you're filled with a sense of spiritual well-being. But are you happy?
Are you?
Oh.
Oh, my dear, you can trust me. Won't you tell me what is wrong?
No, please don't ask. I can't.
Sister, the big dyke's gone. They just sent word. They're leaving the village. Reverend Mother says to ring the warning bell. Can I do anything down here?
No, we're prepared. Yes, Sister Agnes? Yes? Ring through to Norwich and let them know. What? Well, we all know what to do. Thank you.
Miss Carn, we can't get away tonight. We shall have to telephone...
I'm afraid there's no outside communication. Sister Agnes has just told me the wires are down.
Sister Mary, can you come? The dyke's gone and they're bringing in casualties. Why the fools didn't stop before... Sarah. Good heavens, Sarah.
Oh, no, Miss Carn.
Sarah?
Carn. Yes. That's my name. Does it mean anything to you? Think, sister. I'm Sarah Kahn. 3 weeks ago, I was tried and convicted for the murder of my brother. We've just come back from London, from hearing the appeal. It has been dismissed.
Where shall I put this armchair, madam?
Over by the stove, I think, officer, please.
Over by the stove it is. And you back there, ma'am. Thank you.
We've put a bed in there for Miss Kahn. Can you manage with a bunk in the hall?
Yes, thank you. I'm hoping it won't be more than a few days, particularly if the telephones are repaired. Meantime, you do understand Miss Kahn mustn't be left. Either one of your ladies or myself must be with her day and night.
Yes, officer. But this is Sister Mary's office, and she'll be in here most of the time she's off duty. You've no objection?
Oh, certainly not. Does anyone else come in here during the day?
Dr. Jeffries, chiefly during the morning. He's attached to our hospital.
We'll take Miss Kahn inside when he comes. You see, it's rather unfortunate. Dr. Jeffries was chief witness for the prosecution.
Oh. Well, perhaps we can make some other arrangement.
Well, this room is the most isolated, at the end of a corridor and near the long gallery for exercise.
Oh, we'll manage fine. Don't put yourselves out any more. And you must let me help in any way I can while we're here. You said there's another chair to be brought along.
Yes, in the small room off the main hall. I'll come down in a moment and show you.
Thank you, madam.
This means close contact for you. That's what you want, isn't it?
Yes.
You needn't crucify yourself.
What about her? It's pitiful. This should be the time for us to offer something, and we're helpless.
Just a moment, sister. I know our compassion is roused very strongly. But there is one other person we mustn't forget. The brother.
Of course.
It might be as well to remember that.
Sister Bonaventure. Yes, Doctor, I have them here. Ask Sister Josephine to bring you some coffee up here, and I'll do them while you wait.
Shall I put this opposite the other chair, madam?
No, here, please, officer, by the desk.
That's your...
I specially asked for my room to be put at your disposal because I want to be in touch with Miss Khan. I may be able to bring her a little comfort, you see.
The Reverend Mother gave me to understand that.
Is there anything I ought to know?
One thing I should ask you. I hope you won't encourage the prisoner to any form of self-pity. It makes things so much harder if they're difficult.
Would you say Miss Khan was difficult?
Not more than most. And not so much as some. Of course, the worst time comes after the appeal.
And once that's turned down, there's only the Home Secretary.
I must emphatically ask you not to discuss that. It's most unwise at this stage. They all have the same idea, you see.
The same idea?
That they're not guilty.
And Miss Khan has this impression, too?
Oh, yes. Mind you, she doesn't harp on it. She's one of the quiet ones. In a way, I'm sorry.
You think the quiet ones feel it most?
They're most apt to go to pieces at the last moment.
I see. Will you be with her now until...
Yes, I shall.
Officer, apart from the prison chaplain, is she allowed to have her own religious advisor?
Yes, but she's expressed no ideas on the subject and she doesn't regard the chaplain very kindly.
Is a Sister of Mercy allowed to be present?
Perhaps it would be better if I didn't answer any more questions.
That's a very courteous way of warning me not to ask any.
Yes, madam.
Please call me Sister. But you see, if I don't know the facts, I can't help her.
I'm afraid you'll find the approach difficult. Miss Khan isn't quite the usual run of things.
In what way?
She's an artist, and that means temperament. Did you know she was an artist?
Yes.
I was doing very well, I understand. And now, if you'll excuse me, Sister, I'll go and give a hand with these dormitory partitions.
Oh, officer.
Yes, Sister?
What is your own opinion of the verdict?
The jury were out only 15 minutes.
I'm not asking you as an official, officer.
I'd rather you didn't ask me at all. You see, there are some you feel are not the type to do it, and others that it's not so easy to believe.
And when all is said and done, only Almighty God knows the truth.
He and one other, Sister.
One other?
The prisoner. And now, if you'll excuse me, I must go.
Martha, come in here a moment. You were Miss Khan's housekeeper, weren't you?
Ah, surely. Right from the time she came to the village to do them big wall paintings for the church. We were at the Grape House, you know, the big cottage over to Denzel's and Peter.
And did you get on with her? You never found her difficult?
Oh, up like the rocket and down like the stick. But leave her be, and she'd mind her own business and yours too. Sweet as any bird. We were fine till Mr. Jason came along.
Mr. Jason? That was her brother.
It were all in the papers in full, Sister. Pages. Didn't you read it?
No. Tell me about Mr. Jason.
Well, we'd been settled about a month, I think, and he walked in on us at breakfast one morning, all smiles and as cool as you please. And I tell you, Sister, the look she gave him was like she could have struck him to stone on the spot.
He wasn't a very likable young man.
Likable? A vicious bad he were, and no mistake. I'd have said his death were a proper blessing if it hadn't been for poor Miss Khan.
So you think she was responsible, Martha?
I never said that, Sister. And what's more, I never said it in court neither. But by the time that lawyer feller had done asking me questions, you'd have thought I'd seen her do it with my own eyes and was standing up there to tell him so. Sister, that were a terrible moment.
Giving evidence?
No. When the judge put on the black cap and spoke them words. Do you know the words, Sister?
Yes, Martha, I do.
I never looked up, Sister. I never looked up till I knew they'd taken her away.
You were called for the crowd, Martha. You had to answer their questions.
Well, the lawyer gentleman said only to tell them what they asked and no more. Well, there were some things they never asked, so I never told them.
Maybe there was something you should have told them?
Well, I don't suppose it were important. Just some funny words I overheard her say one night when he'd been rowing her worse than usual.
I expect you had a good memory then, Martha.
What's wrong with it now? I can hear her this minute, plain as plain. It were the word royal that struck me.
Royal?
She said, I should have thought that royal affair in Florida would have been a lesson to you. That's what she said. Sounded like he'd been playing round in higher circles than usual.
Please come in. Are these your rooms?
Yes.
And you've given them up to me. It's very comforting with the warmth and the flowers.
I'm glad you like it.
Spacious, too. One can move around. Is that the bedroom? Whom do I know here besides Martha Pentridge?
Dr. Jeffries.
Oh. Does he use this room?
Oh, occasionally. But if you'd rather...
Don't worry. I can go inside. Not having visitors for a couple of months has made me rather unsociable.
Who is it?
Jeffries, sister.
Miss Cohen.
Oh, what does it matter?
Come in, Doctor.
What about that coffee, sister? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't expect to see you here.
Obviously not. Well, now you have. Don't be uncomfortable about it.
I would have come to see you at Norwich.
Only I told you I didn't want anyone. Don't worry, there's no ill feeling. You did your best for me at the time.
Is there anything else I can do?
Whoever your church committee gets to finish off my murals, for heaven's sake, don't let them daub those angels on the left with gold leaf. It'll ruin anything. I'll wait in the other room.
So you knew her before?
I'm on the church committee. When they decided to restore those murals on the south wall, I recommended Sarath Khan because I'd seen and admired her work.
It's good, then.
Oh, first rate. She'd a picture in the Academy the year before last.
What was the subject?
Rather unfortunate in the light of later events. Death of Lucretia Borgia.
So it was poison?
Yes, it was.
I don't know the details.
Then I shouldn't bother to find out, sister.
So far, I know it was poison and the brother was difficult.
Difficult? If ever there was a rotten, corrupt swine, it was Jason Khan.
Martha seems very concerned about Miss Khan.
Just why are you so persistent?
Because I want to know. And you're the one person who can tell me.
And what good can it do if you do know?
If I'm ignorant of the facts, I may be tactless with every word I say.
Where shall I begin?
At the beginning.
Have you ever heard of David Kingham?
Kingham? Yes, wait a minute. The writer and politician. Isn't he quite a cunning man?
Not now. He was so prominent in this case and fought for her so desperately that it's bound to have prejudiced his position.
But why was he dragged into it?
He and Sarah were to have been married.
Oh.
He was away on a government mission for 6 months, and she wanted to finish the murals in our church before he returned. The trouble began when Jason turned up out of the blue and settled at the grape house. I've told you what I think about Jason.
Yes.
He was a confirmed alcoholic.
Oh, poor man.
Poor. Sarah had kept him for years. Some weeks after he arrived, he collapsed suddenly, and, well, no wonder.
A stroke?
Yes. I'd warned him, but he was seldom sober enough to listen. He recovered his mental powers slowly, but he was partially paralyzed. Just punishment enough, except that Sarah took the strain.
Couldn't he have been put into an institution?
An inebriate's home? Yes, but these things take time. And one day, Sarah called me into the dining room and asked me frankly just how long he'd live. Martha was in the room at the time. She remembers the conversation.
Oh, the tragic thing is that these people drag on for years.
Or, as I told her, die quietly in their sleep. She said she was desperate. Her work was suffering, and she had written to Kingham postponing her marriage.
But why do that? Well,
she rightly felt she couldn't saddle him with the responsibility of Jason. Of course, Kingham would have helped her, but, well, she's very proud.
Yes, sir, I've been told.
I promised I'd try and arrange an institution, but I warned her such a life might affect Jason's sanity. I remember so well what she said.
Yes?
She said, while he's well, he's on my hands, and while he's ill, he's on my conscience.
So Sarah was trying to finish a highly skilled piece of creative work and arrange her marriage. In the background, a helpless brother was making her days and nights utter misery.
That's a pretty comprehensive grasp of the situation, sister.
Yes.
Except that I was able to ease the nights. We kept him under drugs. It was the only way to bring relief to either of them.
No night nurse?
Oh, not necessary. The day nurse left at 6. At 8, Sarah gave him the drug, one tablet each night. Oh, no need for details. It was a narcotic, of course, one of the barbiturates, put up in tablet form. A 3-week supply was ordered at a time. That is, 21 tablets, packed singly in a small glass vial.
Where did they come from?
Every 3 weeks I collected these 21 tablets from Abel Harmer, the village chemist. We checked the number into the file, sealed it, and I delivered it to Sarah personally. I warned her not to give him more than one tablet in 24 hours.
I begin to understand.
At the end of November, I went to Norwich for 3 weeks' vacation. I delivered the usual file the day I left.
21 tablets?
Yes. 4 days later, Dr. Giles, my locum, telephoned me to say Jason had been found dead that morning. Will it shock you if I admit my first reaction was one of overwhelming relief?
I think I might have felt the same.
Until Giles told me that from the evidence of vomiting and so on, he suspected an overdose of the drug. So we checked the tablets in the file. Now, listen carefully. 21 tablets, one a night for four nights. How many left?
Four from 21. 17.
There were 17 tablets in the file.
That I don't see.
Neither Giles nor I could understand it either. So I took it on myself to get those 17 tablets analyzed.
And they found?
15 were correct. The remaining two were harmless aspirins. The police found a half-empty bottle of aspirin in Sarah's room.
And Jason had three sleeping tablets that night.
Exactly. Now do you see why I don't want to be reminded of it all?
But couldn't Jason have taken them himself, committed suicide and arranged things to look at...
He was paralyzed.
Oh, yes, of course.
And as I told you, Martha had been in and out of the room that time Sarah spoke to me. At the inquest, they got that damning conversation out of her practically word for word.
Oh, but, Doctor, this doesn't make sense. Miss Khan's a highly intelligent woman. She would have known you'd suspect an overdose and analyze the file.
Sister, if you had no medical knowledge and gave someone an overdose of a narcotic, how would you expect them to die?
I don't know. I suppose quietly in their sleep.
And I told her he might die that way.
Yes, you did. I forgot that.
The prosecution didn't, I assure you. In fact, the defense wanted her to admit to a mercy killing, but she flatly refused. Well, I must be off. I shall be around somewhere if you want me.
This is a nice piece of tapestry. What's wrong?
Age, unfortunately. We discovered it hidden away some weeks ago. Sister Agnes is going to try and repair it, but I'm afraid it's beyond her.
If she's a good needlewoman, I don't see why.
Well, the design is lost.
How do you mean? Oh, I see. The pattern doesn't recur. Oh, what a pity. It's magnificently done. Look at the exquisite stitches.
Reverend Mother wanted it restored for the chapel, but we couldn't do it unless Sister Agnes had something to work from. What we need is an artist.
No, sister. There isn't time.
Would it take so long?
No, sister.
A piece of plain canvas to back the missing strip with the design outlined, even roughly.
I'd need materials, colors.
I'm sure we could supply most of them.
Oh, no, sister, I can't. Besides, it would have to be on a proper frame.
We might even have that. Sister Agnes teaches needlework. And think what we'd have to remember you by.
Remember me? That would be wonderful. Every time anyone looked at it, and on the chapel wall of all places, what would they say? See that embroidery? Do you know who designed it? Sarat Khan, the murderer.
Sarat Khan, the artist. Because it might be there for generations. And only the beauty would be remembered.
Well, all right. Have you a pencil and paper? I know. I'll spread it on the beds next door. It'll be easier.
Is that you, Sister Josephine? I need your help. I've been talking to Miss Khan. I want every possible detail of the trial. Somewhere there's a link, a little flaw. That's where I need you. Yes, those piles of newspapers you're always hoarding. Find me every scrap dated January. Particularly the local paper. Yes, I know you may have used them, but please go and look, Sister Josephine. I want every paper which has anything at all to do with the trial. I don't know, Sister Josephine. I've been reading these papers all day, and the evidence is so damning it frightens me. How did Jason take those two extra tablets?
Could they not have been put in his food?
No, that was established from the first. Sarah has never denied giving him the usual dose at 8 o'clock. Remember, he couldn't have reached the file himself, and Sarah was alone with him all that night.
Yes.
Read this press report. It's the counsel for defense.
Huh? Members of the jury, you're asked by the prosecution to accept the fact that this woman deliberately and with malice aforethought administered an overdose of tablets. Yet, having laid careful plans, the accused neglects the simple, I might say elementary, precaution of acquainting herself with the symptoms of such an overdose. You are asked to believe this extraordinary oversight on the part of an extraordinarily intelligent woman. I submit to you that the idea is preposterous.
Now, that's a man of sense.
And this is the prosecution.
My learned friend has pointed out what he calls an extraordinary oversight on the part of an intelligent woman. But he has previously admitted the prisoner to be of a passionate and artistic temperament. Be that as it may, these are things of emotion. The prosecution is concerned with plain facts, and the plain facts are these. Sarat Khan had every reason to desire her brother's death. She had the means to hand. And from the time the undoubtedly fatal dose was administered at 8 o'clock, no one visited the house until the arrival of Martha Pentridge next morning. Another man of sense, sister.
And you think you're going to beat them both?
The impossible takes a wee while longer.
Sister, what's it going to do to you if you fail?
I daren't fail. Never in my whole religious life have I needed a sign from heaven more desperately than I do now. I daren't fail.
Hello, Sister Josephine. My word, there's a gale up on that tower. Oh, I didn't realize you were such a height.
Oh, I've not been up there for years. What's the view like these days?
A waste of waters. Nothing else for miles. Looks very desolate. And yet it's beautiful.
Worst floods in living memory, I should think.
Well, so they say. Well, I can't stand here blithering with some kind of meal to conjure out of the thin air.
Sister Bonaventure, I'm a little worried about your preoccupation with Miss Khan.
Yes, Reverend Mother?
I've always known you held certain strong convictions about her. Your views do credit to your sympathy and imagination, and I wouldn't for a second decry them. But there are times when all the compassion of the world is powerless. You know everything possible has been done in scrupulous fairness.
I cannot agree.
So you place yourself above the highest legal wisdom.
Which is secular in approach and reasoning.
I see. You feel you're in some manner blessed in your reasoning?
I wouldn't presume so far as that. I only know that never in my whole life have I been filled with such strong, such complete conviction.
Then you must destroy it.
How?
I can only suggest by faith and prayer. Remember, the whole foundation of our training is to accept.
I will not believe this is divine intention. If it should be, then I have no use for such a doctrine.
Sister Mary, you cannot make that kind of bargain. Let me see those records of the trial you have in your desk.
You know about them?
I know about them. Why are you so proud and so obstinate? You're privileged to handle many lives, but you're not permitted to pass judgment.
So you think Miss Khan was responsible?
I think there is nothing we can do to save Miss Khan. But I know I must try to save you from yourself. Here, throw them into the fire.
Oh, no. It's her life. Reverend Mother, her life may be there.
It is the best way, sister.
Please, I beg of you. Don't ask me.
As your personal superior, I order you.
I can't.
We have heard a great deal about discipline, sister. But ours is a discipline of the spirit. If you won't, I must. Try to forgive me.
Sister Agnes is getting most enthusiastic about starting the embroidery.
I should like to see it complete. I've not finished my part yet.
Oh, you will. How quick and sure your strokes are. Must be wonderful to be creative.
Sometimes it's dreadful. Things just won't work out. And sometimes everything goes perfectly and you feel wonderful.
The newspaper report said you sketched every day throughout the trial.
I must have drawn everything in sight. The judge, counsel, even the ushers. The trouble was, they all kept getting the same face.
Whose?
My brother Jason's.
Was he so very bad?
He had an odd, perverted streak of mental cruelty which drove him too far. Oh, poor Jason. He had some grim interludes.
Such as the Royal case in Florida?
Who on earth told you about that? No one knew.
Martha overheard you talking. The word stuck in her mind.
Martha?
Would it distress you to tell me?
No. About 8 years ago, I was working on a commission in Florida. Jason followed me, as usual. He got mixed up with a girl called B. Royal. A solitary, intense fool, heaven help her. When he let her down, as he always lets everyone down, she gassed herself.
And was there trouble afterwards?
Jason didn't even appear at the inquest. She wrote him a pathetic, raving letter. But she also sent one to the coroner, saying that she made no charges against anyone, but that the person concerned would be haunted by his conscience for the rest of his life. She didn't know Jason. I wouldn't have known much about it myself, but she sent me a letter too.
Oh, why you?
She seemed to think we were of one blood and therefore one character. Actually, I only met her twice. But a man of his temperament, Jason knew how to be discreet. Oh, let's talk about something else, shall we?
What are you making?
Well, it's a christening robe for the Grimes baby. Poor Mrs. Grimes is so bewildered at having a boy that she hasn't the slightest idea of what to call him. Any suggestions?
Well, personally, I prefer plain names. John or Charles would be nice. What's your choice?
I rather like David.
David? You've been asked to approach me, haven't you?
Yes.
And how do you feel about it?
Well, I'm divided between my desire to help you and my equally strong opinion that it's your own personal business.
Oh, I wish I'd had you to talk to in the beginning.
Talk to me now, Sat. Why won't you see him or write to him?
Haven't I done enough? His career spoiled, probably the rest of his life affected, just because he knew me.
I'm sure he doesn't see it in that way. If you met once more...
Oh, no, I couldn't bear it.
But if he wishes...
I can't help that. Don't you understand? Can't you realize that if I saw him again, spoke to him, I should go up like straw?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was wrong to speak.
Oh, darn, I smudged it. That's what comes of talking while you work. Pass me that rag, would you, sister?
Sarah.
Oh, it's best like this, sister. Please don't try and persuade me otherwise.
If you must torment yourself, need you do it to him also?
He'll forget. Men do.
Yes, they do. But women go on remembering.
I hope he won't forget everything. I suppose everyone imagines her own love affair to be the most wonderful thing that ever happened. I know mine was. We were so mentally complete. Our minds struck sparks. I've been lucky to get this peaceful interval. I've had vastly different surroundings. I've completed a piece of work which I think is good. I've known you. And believe me, that means a great deal.
Thank you.
I've never been religious.
You mean you've never troubled about the accepted forms?
I don't want them now. If this has to happen, why can't they just be businesslike and get it over? Oh, I must get on.
Your hands are shaking. You can't possibly work.
Officer?
Yes, sister?
Miss Khan isn't well. With your permission, I'm going to ask Dr. Jeffries to give her a sedative.
Would you like me to go and find him?
If you'd be so kind. I expect he's in his room.
All right, sister.
Sister, I'd like to come. Have you heard the news?
What news?
The water's going down. She's going back. They think perhaps in 3 hours.
Oh.
Sorry to fetch you down like this, Doctor.
Oh, it's all right. I'm only surprised she hasn't broken down before.
Has she broken down?
No, she has more courage than we have, and in her own way, more faith.
What we ought to do is put her right out for 24 hours. She insists on finishing that confounded painting. Oh, bother, I'm out of phenobarbital. Got any in your cupboard, sister?
Yes, Doctor.
Bring it to me in the bedroom, will you, please?
Oh, an empty bottle's a dreary sight at any time, especially in the doctor's bag.
Yeah, put this full one in his bag. We can spare it. I'll take this one into him.
Oh, my goodness. The clutter the man carries about with him. Oh, it's a good thing I don't carry the tools of my trade. A fine sight I'd look with a couple of saucepans and the iron-bottomed frying pan.
You can't resist tidying people up, can you? Oh, now this gauze has got paint on it, sister.
Oh, mercy. Now, what have I dropped? What on earth is... What's the matter?
It's a cutting from my file. Quickly, put everything back.
Wait. Give me a newspaper. On the window seat. Hurry. What's it doing in his bag?
I don't know. Wait a minute. He asked me for that gauze yesterday. The cuttings were on my desk when he folded it.
Yes. He caught that one up and put it in the bag by accident.
I suppose so. And yet, I had all the cuttings on a spring clip. I remember I was at the cupboard. Martha came in and looked up. He was standing here with the file in his hand, fiddling with the clip. He could have taken it off.
Not by chance. He'd need to do more than fiddle.
Then he meant to take it.
Perhaps it's not one of yours.
Yes, it is. Look, there's the mark of the clip.
Oh, yes.
It fits the dents exactly. Sister Josephine, just what does this mean?
He didn't want you to study that one too closely. Now, which one is it?
It's the report of his cross-examination. All my cuttings were burnt, or so I thought. There was nothing I could do but resign myself. And now, by some utterly unlooked-for incident, this is returned to me. Perhaps I've been working in the wrong direction. Perhaps this is an indication of the right one.
But surely he's done everything to help, Sarat. And when it all happened, he was in Norwich.
I want to think, sister. Let me read this through thoroughly. I may be wrong, but I feel as though... Sister Josephine, I must have been very stupid.
The water's still pretty high. Think we shall get into that launch without a ducking, officer?
I'll tell them to try around where the main gate would be. Then we can more or less step down from the cloisters.
I hope you're right.
Now that design is finished, I feel strange with no brush or pencil.
Well, what about giving me a hand with this lace? I'm trying to cut out some rather intricate pieces from this cloth to put into baby Graham's christening garden.
No, I think that the delicate fabrics are best left to you. Canvas is more my line.
Didn't someone once say, all the human passions are on a canvas?
One doesn't imagine human passions quite so flat and abstract.
No, considering the havoc they make of our lives.
That's a fallacious argument. Not all people are subject to excessive feeling.
Surely it's in all of us to feel deeply. If not from choice, then from force of circumstance.
In which case it becomes a simple matter of self-control.
Except that the basic human passions are in the mind, and that is not simple. You know, we come in contact with much that is strange and disturbing. I myself was once shown most vividly just how far jealousy and frustration could go.
Tell us about it.
Oh, it's the oldest story in the world. Love of a man for a woman.
A good woman, I hope?
At the worst, a weak one. Through the influence of another man, she died. And the first man, who must have loved her very dearly, allowed his grief and bitterness to drive him beyond normal control.
He killed himself?
He killed the other man.
And then the law killed him, legally. Well, well, how just and merciful.
It has an unusual ending. You see, the law didn't know.
You mean he got away with it? He must have been clever.
He planned so carefully, detail by detail. I think he'd forgotten everything but his obsession for revenge.
Sister. Oh, you cut yourself. Quick.
Oh, it's only a scratch. Have you some plaster in your case, Doctor?
Yes, of course.
It's a nasty, deep cut.
Let me see. Oh, no, nothing very much. I'll just cover it.
Isn't this the plaster? Oh, chemist's sealing tape. Abel Harmer. Harmer? That's the chemist in the village, isn't it? The one who made up the prescription for Miss Kern's brother.
Yes. Keep your hands still, sister.
I think you told me you collected the tablets once every 3 weeks, checked them with Harmer, and took them to Miss Kern.
You're not being very kind or tactful to mention it, are you? Pass me the scissors, please.
If you mean on my account, I'm past caring. Why do you ask, sister?
Because I know how careful one must be with drugs. A 5-grain barbiturate tablet may bear a fatal resemblance to a 5-grain tablet of aspirin.
There you are.
Thank you, Doctor. That's comfortable. I use the word fatal advisedly.
Officer, I think we should ask Sister to stop this discussion. Or as a medical man, I can't answer for Miss Khan's reactions.
My reaction at the moment is avid curiosity.
I wish you'd been a little more curious about that last file of tablets. It's just possible that one, the fourth, may have been a fraction larger than the others.
Sister, you're talking absolute nonsense. I'm going upstairs.
There's really nothing to be gained by all this, sister.
Why should that fourth tablet have been larger?
Because I think it contained the equivalent of 3 ordinary doses. In other words, the necessary overdose could have been put into one tablet. You see? 3 in 1. The tablets were packed singly in a glass vial. According to its position, the overdose would be given on a certain day during 21 days. 21 days during which the person who had prepared that overdose could be any distance away.
Oh, officer, for heaven's sake, do we have to...
Sarit, who first brought you down to Denzel St. Peter?
The orals for the church, Dr. Jeffrey.
Who prescribed those tablets and delivered them to you?
Dr. Jeffrey.
Who actually suggested those tablets should be analyzed?
Doctor.
I won't stand by and listen to this.
Sister, one moment. Are you making definite accusations against Dr. Jeffries?
I'm asking you to place certain information in the proper quarter for consideration.
But this...
Please, sir. Sister, will you be specific?
I would like to suggest Dr. Jeffries brought Miss Khan here, knowing her brother would follow. Jason's high blood pressure and lack of self-control would make it easy for anyone with medical knowledge to induce a stroke. I myself am not altogether ignorant of certain drugs.
I warn you to be careful.
I further suggest Dr. Jeffries collected that last file of tablets, emptied it, and refilled it so that the last 2 tablets were aspirins and the 4th the prepared one. He then resealed the file with Harmer's tape, delivered it, and went to Norwich, knowing exactly when the prepared tablet would be given.
By me?
By you.
Oh, heaven.
This is purely supposition, sister. But you better make a statement in writing, and I'll take it with me.
I will. Meanwhile, Miss Khan is entitled to see her solicitor at once.
This whole thing, it's fantastic.
I'm inclined to agree with you, sir, but in a capital charge, the merest indication of doubt must be properly investigated. You do see that?
Oh, of course, of course. I'll talk to the governor. He'll quite understand Sister Mary has allowed the emotional circumstances to carry her away.
I think it only fair to warn you that I'm not entirely relying on supposition or emotional circumstances. You may know I made a collection of cuttings about the trial. They were burnt. Sometime afterwards, by chance, I found one. This one. I knew it for one of mine because of the clip marks. It must have been taken from my file deliberately.
It's the report of Dr. Jeffrey's evidence. Where did you find it?
In Dr. Jeffrey's bag.
Was it in your bag, sir?
If so, she put it there. Officer, surely you understand. This solitary life. They get strange fancies. We know Sister's taken this business.
Just leave it to me, sir. We'll straighten things out much quicker.
If you look in the bag, you'll find a cutting I substituted wrapped up in some gauze. It's cut in the middle of two columns and makes no sense at all.
Well, let's see, shall we? You mind, sir?
But she just said she put it there.
Yes, you're quite right, Sister. But that doesn't prove much, does it?
Not by itself. You might take out that little roll of sealing tape with Harmer's name on it.
That doesn't prove anything either.
And the other cutting.
Why do you suppose it was taken from your file?
So that I shouldn't study the biographical details too closely. And note two significant facts.
Well?
First, that about 8 years ago, you visited America.
And what's so strange about America?
There's a state there called Florida. Will you ask Miss Kahn what that conveys to her?
Well, Miss Kahn?
My brother... About 8 years ago, my brother was responsible for the death of a girl there.
What was her name?
She called herself B. Royal.
You knew her, I think, Doctor.
I've never heard of her. I've not the least idea what you're talking about.
The second fact in the cutting told me you were once very prominent in your profession, that you are the author of a standard textbook on congenital diseases.
I don't see what bearing my literary achievements
have. I thought that a man of your former distinction might be mentioned in some book of reference.
Sister.
You'll find an entry under Dr. Jeffrey's name in this book. The place is marked. Please read anything relevant.
Leslie Jordan Jeffries, M.D., FRCP, FRCS, Cambridge and London, born 1900.
Oh, this is ridiculous. A cutting which doesn't mean a thing, and the fact that 8 years ago in America some hysterical redhead killed us.
How did you know she had red hair?
Well, you said so.
I didn't mention it. I didn't know.
1934, married Beatrice Royal.
Was she your wife?
Yes, till your brother came into her life.
I must warn you, sir, don't say any more.
She'd been restless for some years. I was absorbed in my work. I didn't realize. She took a holiday alone.
Now, look here, sir, I warned you.
I didn't know she used her maiden name then. She wrote me a bitter letter about you both. When I received it, she'd been dead some time. I went out and checked. I've watched you two. I've watched and planned for 8 years. I was always too ambitious. I should have been content to let Jason suffer, knowing I could let him linger or snuff him out just as I wished.
Oh, don't. Please.
You were responsible for your own part, Sarah. That day you appealed to me, those damaging remarks you made with Martha passing in and out. I remember wondering just how soon it would be all round the village. And then I saw the whole thing vividly, because while you talked, you were turning an ordinary bottle of aspirin over and over in your hand.
But why me? Wasn't it sufficient that Jason should suffer?
Perhaps. But after all, Sarah, you won't hang, and neither shall I.
Jeffries, come back here. Jeffries, he's making for the car. He's going to kill himself. Jeffries! Jeffries!
It's all over now. He's dead.
Oh, Sister Mary.
The good Lord has given you back your life. And he has given you something else, hasn't he? A priceless gift, Sarah. The gift of compassion. Magnificat anima mea dominum. Et exaltavit spiritus meus in Deo salutari me.
Be sure to tune in next Wednesday night at 8 and every Wednesday night for the week's finest radio entertainment brought to you for your listening pleasure by your hosts, the Brewers of Castle Lager. So until next week then, a very good night to you all.